This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are very fortunate every Monday, right around this time, Chip Scoggins, the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune, joins us. Chipper, we're going to start Gophers first, and then we will get to the Vikings. We'll get to the W first. Okay, let's start with jump around. Okay, it's an excellent troll. Here's my view. I want you to see what you think. It absolutely is an excellent troll. But by now, the U of M should have their own song. So when the rare time you beat the Badgers, you don't just have to steal the Badger song, but you also have your own distinctive song.
I do like that idea. Come up with something that's theirs. Make it theirs. I will say this, Chad. That was the best environment for a Gopher game. One of the three best since I've been in the stadium. Was fantastic. Loud. The game ops people were great. Students were into it. It's been the best student section in my 20-something years I've covered. They've just been fantastic all year. But, yeah, that's a good idea. They need to get their own song.
They got to have
their own song. I did like the troll. The troll... I have a son that didn't think it was too funny.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I thought it was a good troll job.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did see multiple people we both know saying they were having a problem with the Gopher ticket app. So until about midway through the first quarter, there were parts of that student section which were empty, and they were there, but they had the screw-up, and that's why the lines were so long at game time. You know, so there still is a part of Huntington Bank Stadium, which is a little too primitive compared to the other outlets in town. Okay, you were effusive in your praise for P.J. Fleck after the victory. Let's start defensively, because we've talked about that. You wrote about it. I'm not saying it's underplayed, but I think historically what this team has done defensively doesn't get enough play, because you know this, whether it's Mason, Kill, or Fleck, they've had offenses, but it's very, very rare to have a defense which has been this good throughout most of the season, and that's on Fleck, that's on Rossi, and it's also on a combination of players, because it's so different from last year.
It's a 180 from last year, and it's in some ways a 180 from what this program's been traditionally, like you're saying. I mean, we've seen some... That has been the Achilles heel, especially when you go back to Mace. I mean, they could run the ball and score a lot of points, but they seem to collapse defensively. And the job that Joe Rossi has done, think about it, they averaged giving up 30 points a game last year.
Yeah.
And they basically cut that in half to 18 this year. And this was the first year that they've been under 20 points allowed since 1999 with that great defense that Mace had that year, that 99 one.
Right. It's really his only one.
Yeah, and that was with Tyrone Carter and – he had a couple, I think, NFL players off that group. But, no, I mean, I don't know if you've talked to Joe Rossi. Every time I spend some time with him, I'm just incredibly impressed with, you know, him as a person, his coach, his explanation, just his knowledge. If I was a mid-tier program, I would interview him for a head job. I just think he's that sharp. I think he's obviously a really good coach defensively, but I just think he just has a presence about him that's – speaks, kind of has that head coach presence about him. And so, yeah, what they did this year, and I think we do have to say, acknowledge
schedule.
The fact that,
the schedule,
but also, Chad, they were fourth nationally in time of possession. So
they weren't
forced to be on the field as much as other teams. But in saying that, I don't take away from how good they are, because I think they're really good defensively.
No, that's a good point. Okay. I don't fault a single Gopher fan, not one, for loving it, jumping around, having fun, okay? But can I also say this? If they don't beat the Badgers, then there's no way this is a successful season. In fact, no. If you want to make the argument, it's a disappointing season, I have no problem with that, because if they don't beat the Badgers, and they did, so enjoy it, then their only significant win is Purdue at a time when Purdue really wasn't doing much.
I said if they didn't win that game, this is a D for disappointment this season when you look at totality.
Right.
And that's why I felt like that game was so important in terms of perception and how we viewed this season. We're still going to play the what if, like, man, what if they hadn't lost this game? They hadn't done that. If if PJ would have gone for it on fourth and goal at Iowa, you're going to do that because they cost themselves a chance to, and they had to control their own destiny. They're going into Iowa and didn't get it done. But I think the way they finished, it does, it helps the season. You look at it, they won eight games. They beat two good teams, beat your biggest rival, which you couldn't go 0-2 again against those two. You had at least split, I think, in my opinion. And so it absolutely changes the tenor. And storm the field. I'm one of those guys who's like, just enjoy college football. Everything about it, I loved. I mean, I love college football. Cut it loose, have fun. That was a big win, a great performance. Go celebrate it.
What the hell was Paul Chris doing at the end of the game when he's down 10, is fourth and one, there's what, 2:30 left?
I think it was like 3 minutes. Around that, yeah.
And so at that point, he's going to punt. Then they screw up. They get a penalty. So now it's fourth and six, and now he decides to go for it. Can you provide any explanation?
I only, in the kind of the craziness of the post game, saw some tweets from my friend Jeff Patricus, who covers the Badgers from Milwaukee. And it sounds like the special teams coordinator maybe sent the punt team out there without the head coach's approval. I haven't seen it confirmed or what. But
how does that happen?
I don't know. But especially in that situation, I don't care what coach you are. If you're the team manager, you should know you're down 10. I mean, I couldn't understand.
None.
When it happened, I'm like, does he know they're down 10? Like,
exactly.
what is going on here? But I just and the other thing is, Chad, Graham Mertz attempted 38 passes.
Yeah.
38.
Yes.
Now, I know they couldn't run the ball, but
typically,
I hate to give up on a quarterback too young, but I just don't see it with him. I know he's highly recruited, but I just don't see it at all.
No. I think he's got the foot speed of us, by the way. because normally what Wisconsin does is they'll just stay with it, right? They'll just stay with the run, and eventually you can wear them down. And the kid is just a stud. I mean, if you hadn't seen the 17-year-old running back before Saturday, you're kind of like, he's just fine. No. He's going to play the NFL, and that's another credit to the defense, how they neutralized
him. Well, and I think the blueprint there was, Chad, they won in the trenches against a team that always wins in the trenches.
Right.
And that's how Wisconsin has beat up the Gophers over the years. They dominated both sides. And to me, you look at the way their line played, they were hitting Braylon Allen in the backfield a lot, or at the line a lot.
Yes.
And he just had nowhere to go. I think Chris and the staff just said, well, we better throw it because we're not going to be able to run it, which is so anti what they do. But they just were not going to be able to run the ball. And he averaged 2.8 yards per carry when he came in, averaging 7.6.
Right.
So, I mean, that's your game. The game is won right there. I mean, and for that defense to hold Wisconsin without a touchdown and two field goals, I mean, I don't think you can speak enough about what that unit did.
Wisconsin's still going to a better bowl game, though, aren't they?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. A lot of it comes down to, Chad, I know it drives fans crazy, but have you been lately?
Yeah, and also crowds.
Have you been here? Have you been there in the last couple of years? So bowls don't like to have the same team every few years unless you're, Michigan or Ohio State. They don't take you every year. But so I think a lot of that's probably in play, too. Like, when's the last time you've been to this bowl and that bowl? So for the Gophers, I think it's probably Vegas or Nashville would be the most likely scenario. Which, that's not bad.
That's okay.
I can handle that.
Yep. I think that's right for the year. I think that's about where they should be. Let's pause, come back. We'll talk about the Vikings, Kirk's inept performance, a defense that couldn't stop him, and where the Vikings are at right now. Our friend and the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune, Chip Scoggins, with us on CCO. Let's go to the Vikings right now. Chip Scoggins, Star Tribune with us. Fill in the blank here with multiple words. Kirk Cousins yesterday was?
Rattled after his interception. I just don't think he looked right after he threw that pick where he just didn't see the guy and he threw it right to him. And he just looked off after that. I mean, think about the the pass where he has Jefferson wide open in the end zone. Or I don't know if he's wide open, but he was there, and he bounced it to him. He threw it at his feet. The chaotic scene, which is going to be one of his blooper reel now, where he lines
forever.
Up under the guard. It was a silly thing, but it just spoke to how much confusion there was. I saw it initially, and I thought it was going to be a trick play, but then you realized when I saw Madison trying to get him to scoot over, it's like, well, the guy is going to – if it was a trick play, he wouldn't be telling his quarterback to get under center. So,
well, it was so odd that he had both wide receivers that he's trying to move over.
Yeah.
First of all, let's just talk about that too. The decision was dumb. Kick the field goal at that point. There's a ton of time left. It's 34-26. Before they failed, I'm like, okay, Zim, I like that you're more aggressive. You need some points right here. Don't go away with nothing.
Yeah, I sort of feel hypocritical because I've been like praising the new aggressive Zim, but in that situation, I probably would have kicked the field goal too.
Yeah.
And just played it out, but it was just weird how chaotic that was. Is it just me or Chad? I just didn't think he looked right after that interception. I just think it got him off his game for some reason.
I think that's a really good point I think I tweeted out, what was that? Because it was there was nothing there was nothing unique about the coverage. The linebacker, I forget his name, was standing there. Probably was as surprised as anybody when the ball was thrown. Chip, I think if we look back, I bet there were 7 or 8 throws that he normally makes and are not difficult, not complicated, and he missed them. He had the one great throw to Thielen on the second TD when it's flowing towards the corner and he sees that Thielen's flowing towards the coverage and stops and makes a great throw, causing Thielen to adjust. But that looked like Cousins the way he started last year. Not the guy he's been the last 17, 18 games.
Yeah, and I think that's why it probably stands out so much, because he has been so accurate and been so good. And so I guess it's going to happen sometimes. You're just going to have a stinker where you don't play well. And it just felt like, and I don't know if it was him, but in reading and listening to Zim and players after a game, seems like the officiating just got him off out of kilter. You know, they were complaining about, and Zim basically said he was on the officials all day about holding. And so you wonder how much that was working in these guys' heads, too, that they felt like everything was going against them. And,
too much.
And you know what? You got to work past that. I mean, there was, yes. I mean, the Thielen catch that was on review, I thought that should have been a catch.
Yep.
I didn't like the, Norman punching Thielen in the back in front of
the
official. I don't know why that wasn't. But it's not like there were no bad calls on the other side, too. I'm sure San Francisco probably felt that. So
He's kind of weird this year about that, too. To me, he's spending too much. I go back to when, after the Cleveland game, when he says, Kevin just told me how good we are, right? There is a defensive component about him, aware of his butt being on the line, that he never wants to acknowledge in direct answer. But his answers really tell you he's aware of how important this year is.
Yeah, and it's funny because after the game, he was like, we were close, we played hard, I love our fight and all that. And he said, and then he, was ripping on the officials a lot. And it's like, there are a lot of mistakes your guys made in your defense. Yeah, and I know you're without the entire starting defensive line, which is going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt like you didn't play clean enough to be able to do that. Does that make sense?
Like,
if you played a really good game and mistake-free, which is not possible, but, you would say, okay, I could buy it a little bit, but when you had the plays that they had and the mistakes that they had, it's like, man, are you really going to blame the officiating on this, I don't know. Yeah, it just felt like it was in their head a little bit.
Chip Scoggins with us. Chipper, you brought it up last week and said one of the undertold stories on this team is what's going on with the running game and what's going on with Dalvin. I think a bunch of us were tweeting out yesterday, what's up with Dalvin? Okay, this is before he's hurt. What is going on? Because he just didn't seem the same. Then the injury, and you could tell something was going on. I think what was going on is that the team knew that he'd been battling the one labrum. Ooh. Now he has this one, and they're telling us, if they would make the playoffs, there's an outside chance he can come back. It does show you the admiration he has from that club and also the impact he's had. And they know that he's been playing and he's not allowed to be the same guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been beat up all year. I remember before the bye, we were like, man, this bye comes at a good time because he is really mm-hmm. – it was after the Carolina game. I was there.
Yep.
He looked tired, Chad. In the postgame, he looked tired, and he's like, yeah, this is going to be a good week. And so I think he's probably dealing with stuff that we don't even know about physically. And, I mean, which speaks to, you know, I mean, he's carried the ball a lot, and it's going to be a theme every year as long as he's here because he's going to get used a lot. And so – yeah, so I mean, if they put him, I hadn't seen they put him on IR. I saw Schefter talk about maybe they're debating it, so that'd be three games. So it's going to be Madison and this rookie. I want to see him get some incorporated in the offense. He obviously has some explosiveness about him. Yep. So,
last thing, 45 seconds ago, Jonathan Vilma, not good at what he does. I mean, I'm sure you're a nice guy, Jonathan. You're a hell of a player, but whoa, I would like one nugget of insight, maybe a game.
There was one point in the first, I think it was the first quarter or first half, where he said Garoppolo is going to look back and there's like four or five, six throws that he wished he'd had back. It's like, it's the first quarter.
Yeah.
He's been horrible.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it was not the A team, I'll say that.
No. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo, if he could just play as good as he looks, but he's he's just not a great quarterback. He's
a good
not...
thing to have great defense and a great running game.
Yeah, and a pretty good coach, too. All right, brother. Good to talk to you.
All right, bro. We'll see you.
All right, man. Chip Scoggins, he is so good to us, and we appreciate it. Thank you so much for listening. Dan, how can they podcast the festivities? What should they do?
You can download the Odyssey app on your phone for free and search Chad Hartman Show. You'll find all the podcasts there. You can also go to our page, WCCORadio.com, and find all our content there.
Yeah. Odyssey.com. Hopefully the app works. Tomorrow, we got a nice surprise for Ask Adam Anything since he's cheating on us with the morning show. Andy Slavitt on the new variant, Jamie Ukas, and then Mark Loria and Alex Rodriguez together on the show at 2:35. Wolves play tonight. Jordana's next. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.